Hello and welcome to episode number 24 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson.
We've got a few things to chat about tonight, Mark. What have we got on the agenda?
We've got an interesting topic, which is why this episode show is named The Death of Themes, which is all about a specific blog post that we both read. Yeah. About themes, funnily enough, and interesting leading to sort of another question about WordPress being a no coding option in the future. A little bit about what we've been up to, and we've got like a project that we've been working on and launching, and some sort of questions and discussion about that. So yeah, let's get stuck in.
Let's do it. So straight into, I guess, our main topic. So this is off the back of, like Mark said, a blog post by, and I'm going to get his name wrong, Rich Tabor. Can't remember. Sorry, Rich. I remember whenever I heard him say it for the first time, I was like, oh, that's how you pronounce it. So I've blatantly just got it wrong myself. Rich is a WordPress theme developer, I think, primarily. He can correct me if I'm wrong. Currently working at WP Engine, I think. I've followed his blog quite closely. He writes great stuff about the block editor, full site editing, and all the new stuff with WordPress. And like, his work is really beautiful, and all his presentations are really beautiful. And he's just a generally cool guy. So I always listen to what he has to say. And he wrote this blog post that came up in my Twitter feed earlier today, and it's called "A New Era of WordPress Themes is Finally Here." So it's at richtabor.com/a-new-era. And I was quite excited to read the post, just because, like I said, I kind of respect what Rich says about things, and he's pretty optimistic about WordPress most of the time, and the direction of things. So that's always quite refreshing anyway. But I actually came away, despite his upbeat delivery in the post, I came away feeling quite down in the dumps about things. And I guess it's just, we can chat about why. What was your reaction, Mark, whenever you read it?
Things are changing big time with themes. I think themes have been one of the sort of pillars of WordPress development, haven't they? They've been like, you know, you have people building businesses on themes, yeah, right back at not the very start of WordPress, but certainly sort of 3 or 4 years in, we got lots of theme shops, and they were a great way of building WordPress sites for people getting started. And obviously that's changing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but there's obviously big changes coming into play. A lot of what themes can do and do is probably being replaced by the block editor in many ways. And that in itself isn't necessarily a bad thing. But you do, and I think I've asked myself this question before when the block editor came out and was started to sort of understand what it could actually do. The question was, what is going to happen to themes? Because in theory, you're not really going to need them as such. Or if you are, they're going to be very different from what we've actually experienced before. And that is actually the case, I think, of what his view in this article is as well, as outlining that, you know, things are going to change. And I think the quote in there that really struck me and made me think was that he says, I don't know for sure, but I think we'll get to a place where a block theme won't need any custom CSS. That's the goal that he wants that seems to be to aim for. And I know you've got some reservations about CSS and the way it's handled at the moment in WordPress themes or blocks, and I think that's kind of what worried you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that that paragraph. So he he explains basically what makes a block theme different, and his 4 points are: they are built 100% with blocks, they have no or limited custom CSS, they leverage full site editing and supports style variations. And yeah, number two, have no or limited custom CSS. I don't know how to take that, because at one level it feels like a kind of direct, not attack, threat to me, and what I do for a living. And I've got to accept that, you know, to some extent technology moves on and you kind of keep up, or you kind of slowly die away, or your skills become kind of irrelevant. And it's at one level I accept that, and that's kind of inevitable. But at the other level, I don't accept it. And I think I don't accept it because what I'm doing every day for our clients and customers is personalizing websites, adding those little special like finishing touches, those little flourishes that give brand and personality to a website. And I'm using CSS tricks to achieve some of this, like kind of just like cool stuff. And I just cannot see how any no code editor can deliver that. Yeah, I just can't.
I thought the same, actually. And I was actually thinking about putting a little set of tweets out. I think it was yesterday or today. I can't remember, but I'd never got around to it. And it got me thinking that actually the way in which the block editor has taken WordPress, because like you, I felt very much about my role, like it's disappearing. A lot of what we build is already built for us, and it's a matter of just skinning it. And actually the tweets along the lines of, if you are starting out in WordPress development, get really, really good at CSS, because you can do an awful lot with what is there in WordPress, the blocks that we've got, the layout options that we've got. And if you can get really, really good at CSS in terms of changing things without having to change the markup, then you will go an awful long way. And I look back and I think like how you've developed your CSS, like the things you do with CSS now, like I was never very good at CSS, don't get me wrong. But when I used to write it, the things you're doing now, it's just amazing. Like the stuff you can do with the same markup is brilliant. Mm. And it kind of reminds me about probably about a decade ago when I first got into the web. I remember a website, I think it was called CSS Zen Garden.
That's it.
And it was like a HTML template that was just the same markup. And it had like hundreds and hundreds of different people who had styled it with only CSS. And it's just amazing. Like they look completely different just using CSS, no markup changes or anything. And I just thought, if as a developer, if you can get really good at doing that, you'll go a long way, because you won't have to do any sort of changes to WordPress, which is going to be good. But this kind of says that's not the direction, unless I've misunderstood it, but that's not the direction that it's going to go in. It's going to go in that removing that as well, which seems a strange angle. I'm not sure whether I've misunderstood what that means, or whether the article hasn't explained it as well to me as I thought, but interesting. Yeah.
Couple of things. I think one thing that we're always potentially at risk of doing is thinking that WordPress is the tool that we use and that we know, and the way that we use it is the way it's used. And actually what we do with WordPress is very, very niche in like the grand scheme of things. You know, there's millions of WordPress websites. A tiny, tiny fraction of those are custom built themes for organizations, which is what we do. So I think, you know, when Rich talks about themes, he's probably mostly talking about themes that go in the theme repo, not custom themes for organizations. So you might see the end goal for the open source themes, or the kind of, I don't know how to say it, but themes that can be used by many different organizations. he might see that this is the future for those. And actually, if he was talking to us directly, he said, oh, but no, it's going to obviously be different for you guys because you need to do this and you'll need to do that custom CSS work. So I'm not talking about that. So we've got to be a bit careful of that. But
yeah. But just to counter that slightly, I think Rich's audience isn't that audience. It's us. But I might be wrong. That's his blog audience. Yeah. I don't think it's the general people who build WordPress websites. I don't think they'd be reading that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Not who build work. Not, yeah. But theme developers, I mean. Like, I develop themes, but I'm not a theme developer theme in developer. The sense that Rich is a theme developer, or that Anders Noren is a theme developer, okay. Or that Brian Gardner is a theme developer. I don't release themes.
Yeah, understand. For anyone to use for ours are specific themes for specific tasks or for specific use cases, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, it's funny you mentioned CSS Zen Garden because a week or so ago I was thinking of doing a kind of a tweet that shows like the WordPress Zen Garden of the future, and like they all looked exactly the same. it's something I've been thinking about a lot though, because I mean, I like I say, I love Rich's design. Rich is an amazing theme designer, as is Anders Noren, as is Brian Gardner. There's loads out there. But I do look, and he gives an example in that blog post of like, here's how the themes, it can all look so different. I'm like, but they don't look that different, do they? They're all like very blocky, minimal, you know. And I'm just like, the colors are different. The spacing's a bit different. The typography's a bit different. But they're the same kind of style.
Yeah.
I do see WordPress themes going down that route. Just as a really basic example of how we're being kind of led down a very opinionated path. So we've now got in the block editor this concept of full width, wide width, default width. That's just become a WordPress standard. So all sites, and it was going that way anyway, like it was, you know, this is reflecting how sites were being built generally. Yeah. But it's very difficult to move away from that now. So like your default column is always centered rather than left aligned, for example.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is now for WordPress. Yeah,
good point. That's a really good point, in that you've got to make your stuff work with what's there in a way. You could remove those options. I think you can. I'm not sure
you can remove alignment options, but the whole structure is based on that, and it would actually be, without using columns, I think it would actually be quite difficult to achieve that left aligned, like default width.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so
just suddenly thought about that CSS Zen Garden thing. What we could have a challenge for the WordPress community. We could build a block based page, get the words out, and then see like how different can we make that look, the community, just with CSS. Yeah. All you're allowed to do is change the CSS. I think you'd be surprised, actually. I think there's some really cool stuff people could do with that.
Yeah, with CSS.
With CSS. With CSS, exactly.
And this is the thing, like, and so I tweeted to Rich, and fair play to him, he like responded, and then Matthias, I like Matthias actually, he jumped into the conversation as well, but Matthias's answers are always like so technical and so, it's going to be abstracted to this layer of such and such, and will programmatically be able to do this with the styles. I'm like, I just want to use CSS. I just want to use style sheets because they work, and that's how the web has been built. Like, it feels like we're like fighting against web standards now. Like, we're going against like this great technology that is mature and evolving. Like, some of the stuff you can do with CSS today is amazing. And is that power being taken away from us? I think it is a little bit. But
Well, I guess time will tell, won't it? It'd be interesting to see.
agree.
If you haven't read the article, I would definitely recommend it on Rich's website. We have a few watchers along. We are live on YouTube for the podcasters that might be listening to us. And thank you for watching. If you are, there are 5 people watching, so well done. We have got some comments as well. And if you do have a question or a point to raise about what we're chatting about, then please let us know in the chat. That would be really nice.
Yep.
And while I'm talking about admin-y stuff, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, that would be great. And like the like button if you're enjoying this podcast episode or show. I think we should move on to the next topic that we have in our list. Let's go for our product, I think, that we've been working on. Now, we started this in our little retreat that we had. When was that? Last week? Was it last week? Early last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, early last week, yeah.
Which was really, really good fun. And we started to build out this product. And so the product is a add-on for the WP Job Manager plugin, which is actually a plugin that we use a lot, being in the recruitment sector. We do a lot of integrations with jobs and things, and we often recommend the Job Manager plugin as the sort of go-to job board plugin in WordPress. It's actually very good. And what we're building at the moment is a social media image sort of generating add-on for that. So essentially what this means is that when you write a job in Job Manager, you can get it to automatically generate you a beautiful branded and automated image that will include some of the job data on it, such as the job title, the location, and the salary. And it will have your branded colors, and it will have like a background image. And when you share the job on social media, that will be used in the preview on the social media feed. So it'll nice. And lots of recruiters have told us that the engagement they get on those jobs is massively higher than when you don't have that image. So hopefully people are going to like it. So I think we've got kind of 2 discussion points about this. And the first one for me is kind of like, when is it ready?
Yeah.
Now this question is like, we're constantly having conversations. Like we've built something now and it kind of works. But then we say like, oh, but we could do this. And oh, we could do that. And yeah, we should do this. And I think the question is kind of like, when should you say, well, actually, no, well, let's launch it, because it's ready and we can add these things and discuss these things and add them at the end. And I find that really difficult to answer, because I think, and you said this in our last conversation, Keith, when you sort of send this out to people, like we have a mailing list of people who we've used our products and things and who've used Job Manager, you've kind of got one shot to sort of grab their attention and gain their interest. So if your product is perhaps not as optimized as it should be, is that going to put them off? Mm. But then the counter argument to that is, if you never send that email, then you're never going to get anyone to buy it, are you? So yeah. It's an interesting balance. What are your thoughts on that, Keith?
Yeah, well, it's similar. So it's just, yeah, that kind of tension between just ship it and, you know, the strong urge to add that next killer feature that, you know, is going to be the thing that everyone really wants. It's I'm finding it really hard, actually. Like
me too.
This stage of the process, and like we had some good feedback from some of our customers that this is what they would really want, you know. Yeah. That which is why we built it.
Yeah.
But now I'm just feeling a little bit kind of nervy about that launch. And like you say, you know, we've got a very small mailing list to hit, to send this out to, and maybe our problem is that we are putting too much emphasis on that mailing list, and actually we should just send it out to that. If we get a couple of bites, we get a couple of bites. Yeah. If not, like, it's a small mailing list, so let's not put too much,
not worry
like
about it.
Yeah, let's not worry
but
about
then
that too much.
That raises the next question of discussion, though, is like how to launch it then. Obviously, yeah, that's part of the strategy. We've got the web page pretty much up and running now, isn't it? It's pretty much written and we're happy with it, I think.
Yeah.
We can send it to those people, I guess. What else can we do? Yeah. Is the question to launch it, you know. I think we've got some ideas. I think it should probably go in the WordPress.org repository. I can't really see a negative of putting it in there. And I know it would be a plugin that requires the active, you know, a paid for service, but we now know those are okay. Mm. So I don't think that's a problem. And then potentially we could get it onto the WP Job Manager add-ons page. So that could
I think that's important.
A helpful solution. So it'd be a matter of contacting the team there and seeing if they'll be nice enough and good enough to put it on there. We'll see. I'll have to work out what that is like and what the process is. And then what else, I guess, is we could do? I don't know.
Well, yeah. And then there's questions around pricing and discounts and all that kind of stuff that we're kind of struggling with a little bit too.
Do you discount it to start with? Do you not, because you stand by the price of the product and the value it brings? It's it's just difficult, isn't it? I think I think you've just got to bite the bullet, make your mind up, and give it a shot.
Yeah, I think one of the things we've got to be careful about is just being resilient. Like, we're gonna get knocks. Like you hear about it so much with like founder stories, and they're like, launched this product, nothing happened. Tweaked it a bit, something happened, but it wasn't brilliant. Changed the pricing, got a little boost, pivoted to this thing, and then it just scout, you know, then that's the thing that becomes a success. So we've got to, to balance that out, you've also got to at some point say, if this just isn't hitting home, maybe there isn't a product here, and knowing when to cut your losses and move on.
But like, take Job Relay, that took a long time to kick off, didn't it? And really gather pace, if you like. You know, the first 6 months, I don't know, did we have 10 customers? Maybe 15? Not sure. Maybe a few more, but not a lot at all. And then it's only over the last 12 months, really, that it's really started to resonate and engage, and people have, you know, like, we're getting whatever it is, 8-9 signups a month, isn't it now? So perseverance is probably a good lesson, isn't it? You can't just expect it to flourish just straight away.
I think we get it in good shape. We try, you know, we try the obvious things first, and then just see what happens, and then we can tweak stuff. We can tweak the price, and we can tweak the messaging. Be good just to get some feedback. That's what I want. You know, I want real feedback. I want someone to say, "Oh, it looks really cool," but, you know.
I guess you can't get that without launching it, can you? You can't.
Exactly.
Unless it's in people's hands, you can't get people using
it. Got to get it in front of people. Yeah.
Nick says, get it launched and refine it, says the man with no experience of selling plugins.
I think that's mostly true, though.
Yes, I agree.
I think we're probably sitting on it now for maybe slightly too longer. Like, I've been finessing that landing page for I don't know how long now. Adding emojis here and there and all sorts. So step away from the emojis, Keith.
We've got a question. I haven't got the ability to put it on screen. So
which one is it?
From X Salms. With the current changes to WordPress, would you tell new developers to work with WordPress? That's nigh and impossible to answer, because I haven't actually worked with anything else, really, so I can't say that X, Y, or A or B is better. So the answer would have to be yes, because that's all I know, unfortunately.
Would you tell? No, I wouldn't tell new developers to work with WordPress, though.
Yeah,
if someone's just coming in with a completely clean slate, I would not advise them to work with WordPress. I wouldn't advise against it necessarily, but I would. It depends on the market you're trying to serve. It depends on yourself as a developer. Like, what do you mean as a developer? Like, what if you're really into cutting edge tech? Probably not.
Yeah, Craig says it's a no from him. Interesting, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think Keith's probably right. I wouldn't tell them to do that. But so are we suggesting then that specializing in a specific platform is not the right way to go? I'm not so sure. I don't know. I mean,
times have changed so much. Specialist in anything is generally better than not.
Yeah. You don't want to be a jack of all trades. You want to be someone that specializes in what you specialize in.
But yeah, I don't know. And it depends where you're starting from as well. Like, do you already have any experience of any languages or frameworks or whatever? So, tricky one. I think an awful lot of developers, and especially like proper developers, programmers would probably say to avoid it at this point, I think. But yeah, hard to answer. Good question.
Right. Let's wrap that up, I think.
I think so. Thanks for thanks everyone who joined us live. Thanks, Craig, Nick, Xalams, for the comments and questions. Really appreciate it. Like Mark said, if you haven't already, please do subscribe. If you don't want to subscribe, just like it. That would really help us out. You can get us on YouTube live or on your podcast player of choice. And we are putting out one of these episodes per week these days. We love taking questions. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter at WP Cafe Show.
Correct.
Or at Keith Devon or at WP Mark. You can find us on Twitter there. Ask us anything and we'll do our best to cover it on the show. And thanks again. See you next time.
Bye-bye.